Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. Welcome to our group coaching call for April 19th, 2018. I'm glad you're here. We're going to be trying something different over the next couple of weeks, and if it works out, we'll continue doing it. And that is, we've added a chat feature to the call. So what I invite everyone to do is, whenever possible, when you join these calls, go ahead and log in to the call page. So just log into B2B Business Launcher inside the training portal. You'll see that every call has a page. Go ahead and click on today's page. And on that page, not only will you see the different ways you can go ahead and join the call, but you'll see toward the bottom, there's a chat box. And you could just join the chat, and I'm going to be asking questions throughout. It's a great way. I'm trying it in a different group, and so far it's working really well. Different way to make it more interactive, and also to have conversation among each other as we go through this. So you'll see how we're going to use it, but let's give it a try. I understand if you're like in the car or traveling right now or whatever, you may not have that in front of you. Otherwise, let's give it a go, and let's just see how it works. So quick reminder, we're recording all these calls, so if you have to jump off early and you want to, you know, catch the replay later, we will post it always within one business day, and we'll send out an email when that's posted inside the training portal. And if you have a question, you want to talk through a challenge, situation, you need feedback on anything, nothing is off limits, guys. Star 2 will raise your hand if you're on the phone, or you can just click on the raise hand icon if you're logged into the call page, star 2 at any time. So let's go ahead and kick things off with wins. I'm just curious if you've had any wins you'd like to share over the past week. Now, what I talk about wins, a win can be anything. A win could be, hey, you know what, just as seemingly insignificant as, I just got clarity on something. I'm finally starting to get a little closer to how I'm going to position myself. This exercise I went through gave me, you know, that clarity. Or I just talked to someone the other day, and they were really excited about what I did, and they said they might be able to help me. Nothing's happened yet, but that happened. So really anything that got you motivated, that got you a little excited, that helped you see the light, if you will, That's fair game. So just go ahead and type it into the chat box and let me know if you've had anything. Don't worry about, well, it doesn't feel very significant. If it's significant to you, it's significant enough. And I'll type something in as well. Let's try that. All right. Hey, welcome, Gordy. I see Andrea here as well. Let's see, who else is on? Mary. Hey, Mary, welcome. Hope you're feeling better. Arun. Hey, Arun. Good to have you here. So, again, just type in. If you see, you know, I hope you guys are able to see it. I don't see what you see. So, even if you just want to type in something and let me know if that chat feature is working. Aha, perfect. It sounds like it is. Mary said, one of my B&I colleagues is setting up my website. It's nearly done, and I'm happy about that. Hey, that is awesome. That is so cool. And I'm curious, Mary, are you guys just bartering services, or are they just doing it as a favor? So let me know. I'm just curious. Ken says, hi. Hey, Ken, great to have you here. Mary says, a huge discount. Well, those are the best kind of friends. That's wonderful. Hey, and I'm glad you're moving into that already, Mary, because, you know, just kind of setting that up, even if you have help, takes a little bit of time. So even though I know you don't have your positioning nailed down yet, it doesn't matter. That's really smart that you're working in parallel there. That's going to save you a little bit of time. Arun says, hey, Ed, I have a couple of folks reviewing my website. Goal is still to go public and searchable within by week's end. Oh, man, that is great. You're moving right along. Okay, so, yeah, the chat is working well. So anybody else with any kind of win, Anything you feel really good about that's kind of getting you going? I saw some really great stuff on the forum this week, by the way. And you guys are moving right along. And I love that. You'll get tired of hearing me say this, but there's a few tenets of this program that are so key, they're worth repeating week after week after week. Done is better than perfect is one of them. We're not trying to create perfection right now. Believe me, I've been doing this long enough. I can assure you that just moving through it and just doing your best with what you've got right now is much more important than try to get every step perfect. You will perfect and optimize along the way. Okay. I've never seen anyone take the time, meaning months, to get everything done perfectly or near perfect and actually achieve success. I've never seen it. It doesn't happen. There might be a couple of steps where, yeah, they happen to take a little bit longer there, but rarely do I see someone who doesn't move to the next step until the step they're currently in right now is perfect and optimized. It just doesn't happen. Susan says she finished lesson one. That's awesome. Hey, you know what? That's a big one. I front-end loaded this program with really the most important stuff, and that foundational stuff, the positioning. It's hard stuff. I mean, it's trying to dig deep that way and search inside and do that inventory and narrow things down. That's not an easy process. So good for you, Susan. Andrea says, may have a paid assignment coming up. I've written an article for my blog site and client wants to use information for their marketing. Whoa. Andrea's moving right along. That's awesome. That's great. All right, so curious also what you guys are working on. So some of you have already said it. Susan just finished lesson one. Arun is just pushing right through. Website's going to go live very soon. Mary's getting her website up. What else? What are you guys working on inside the program? Any training, specifically the training you're working through right now? Let me know in the chat feature. Deb asks, how important is the SEO setup for your website? My web designer got sick, and I'm struggling getting it set up. I wouldn't worry about the SEO part right now, and here's why. It will be more important as you move along, but right now it's very, very rare for a prospect to find you anytime soon. Your business, the clients you're going to get, are going to come through the prospecting process I'm going to walk you through, and so to worry about something that's not going to bear fruit right now is just not it's counterproductive. It's like trying to fertilize your tomato plant in the middle of December. That's just – don't worry about it. you got to wait till July to get ripe tomatoes. So let's work on the things that are going to pay off now. Ken says he's working through the positioning section. Mary is working on positioning. She says, I want to enter the travel industry. I'm a retired financial advisor, and I really don't want to work in that industry anymore. Okay, so we can definitely talk about that, Mary. In fact, I'd love to bring you on if you want to chat through it, and we can maybe look at a couple of different scenarios. Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and just talk questions, issues, challenges, feedback. Star two on your telephone keypad if you want to join the conversation. That will raise your hand, and I'll bring you in and unmute you. We got somebody in California. Let's see, 0324, last four digits of your number. You're on.
Oh, hi, Ed. It's Colleen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good talking to you.
I just joined the program like 4 hours before it closed, so that was just last week. So I've been going through the positioning. My background is I did Joshua Boswell's Simple Path. So I have my website up. I have I've been trying to build my network on LinkedIn and make connections. I'm just really stalled. So I thought maybe my positioning isn't quite right or my prospecting isn't quite right. So that's my call to sort of discuss that with you, if possible.
Sure. Okay. So where are you in the training right now for this program? You've gone through session one?
and session two. And so
you're in session two.
I know that my website is rather verbose, like way more text than you recommend, and I'm more than happy to work through that and optimize it. But I just want to make sure I'm in the right target market before I put in a whole lot more work.
Oh, absolutely. We got to let's make sure we got the right foundation, and then we can worry about framing the house, right?
I'm thinking maybe that some fundamental is wrong because I'm really struggling. I've been at it for a year, and it's been a struggle.
All right. So tell me how are you positioning yourself, and then did the exercise from session one change anything, or what did you get out of that?
Okay, well, I went through it. Boswell does a similar thing, much more in-depth and a lot more personal, which you sort of get bogged down in that. So I like yours, that it's all about the profession. And I came out in the same place. But I realized that there's some other avenues that I could go as well. I listened to that podcast of yours about writing for government, and I worked for government for many years. So I sort of thought about a lateral shift. So my background is I have a PhD in environmental science and management. I'm expert in water quality, water management, that kind of stuff. So my original targeting was for the water industry, like water and wastewater treatment companies that sell to, you know, water utilities, industry, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I've been trying to connect. I've, you know, been building my network on LinkedIn. But, like, the last 10 people that I connected with say they do all their writing internally. So I'm thinking there's not a huge number of companies that do this. You know, like, I bought a list. You get maybe 100 names on it. It's not huge. So,
yeah.
After reading that, listening to your podcast with Katie Taylor, was it? I was thinking, and that's a whole other avenue to go down that would be a lot of work, but another possibility for me would be to target environmental and engineering consultancies that actually do the environmental work for industries that want to get approvals out of government that often get way behind on their writing. I know that from personal experience, but I wasn't really sure how to go about targeting that, and if that was, you know, because it's not really for government, but it's people who are working for government, you know, like subcontracting. She talked about the subcontracting route. So
yeah. So
can I
broaden
out what I'm current doing, or do I just go for a different approach altogether? I don't know what to do.
No, I think you're on the right track. So let me explain how I would go about this. You're a lot closer than I think you realize. Let me see if this makes sense. The way to do it in this business is a little counterintuitive because it's not what we're taught out there. I'm not sure how Joshua teaches it, but I have found that in practice, the way it works best is to find something that's relatively broad. And, you know, everyone tells you, niche down, niche down, niche down, right?
Exactly.
I actually disagree with that in most cases, but there's some conditions to make the right decision. If you have a background that's very detailed and you're able through your connections to gain traction very quickly in a very specific sub area of your profession, then I think that's great. But in most cases, you're not going to know where you're going to get traction at first, so you're better off broadening a little bit more. So let's think of it as like three phases of depth. Or levels. Level one would be, I'll write anything for anyone. Let's just call it that, right? That's really broad. And that's the way that I would say most writers out there and copywriters are positioning themselves, is some version of that. The thinking is, well, I want to cast a wide net. You know, I don't want to rule anybody out. let's jump to the third level. The third level is something really, really specific. Companies in the water and wastewater industry. And, yeah. and there is even more granularity there, but let's just say that, okay? Let's just kind of stop there as kind of the most narrow. I think your best bet is in level two, somewhere in the middle. So, for instance, companies in the environmental industry, and whatever terminology you want to use, but you're a writer in the environmental industry. And what you're doing there is, believe it or not, that is a huge jump from level one, enough to help you get traction, but not so narrow that you're really focusing on a handful of companies. There's more than a handful of companies in the water
but it's not huge.
But it's not huge. I get it. I used to be in that business. I was on the distribution side, so underground facilities.
Well, there you go.
I didn't sell to the plant. We had a different division for plant, but anything outside of the plant was ours. So I get it. It's a really most people don't even know that industry exists. It's one of those.
And they don't use a lot of content. I mean, they do case studies, but they don't do a lot of – I mean, some white papers maybe, but, yeah, it's not huge.
They go to trade shows.
They go to trade shows.
They do. They love their trade
shows. Market.
Yeah. But right, you know, one of the things that I think makes it so it's not as content heavy as people would think is the fact that you got to get your stuff spec'd. Once it's spec'd, you're in. You're locked in, and you know there's no need to market like you would have to in another industry. So really, that's a it's that first push. So my advice is kind of go with level two, kind of that middle layer. And now here's what you do. When we get to prospecting, when you get to that lesson, then you could have some very narrowly targeted efforts. So in other words, you could go after companies in water, wastewater. You could go after environmental and engineering consultancies. So you can tailor those personalized messages to those people, but then your website is kind of the umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So I think that's going to be the way to go for you.
Yeah, because my website's now sort of focused on just the water industry stuff, so I should broaden that out to more.
So yeah, right now you're at level three. You need to jump up one layer.
Yeah. Okay.
And so here's what you do. Your uniqueness is a combination of two factors. Is the fact that you have driven that stake in the ground, right? It's the environmental science, whatever we want to call it in general. And then the intersection of that and your credentials and your background.
Yeah.
The fact that you have a PhD in environmental science, that you've worked in this industry for a while, that is a 1-2 punch that is that's very, very powerful. Now, that doesn't mean that you know, you'll be able to send out 10 warm prospecting emails and you have all the business that you can handle. It's still going to be hard work, but it's you're perfectly positioned there to get some traction faster than you would if you either went too specific, too narrow, or too broad.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So now I just have to work out how to write those web pages at a broader level so that I can tie in the – I guess I just don't get too specific at all. Like some of your examples, I went through that video of yours on session two.
Yeah.
That it's they really stay fairly broad, don't they?
They did, and that's why I chose them, because those people were getting traction at that level.
Okay. Now,
and
that's a question. On my banner, like, so I have a logo and a banner, and it has a tagline on it. That I was an expert B2B copy and content writer for the water industry. So should I either just take that tagline off and use headlines in the in the body, or should I change that for the environmental industry? I don't think they charge me too much to change to environmental.
Yeah, I would broaden that to it. I'm not looking at it now, but if it's a banner, it's designed, which means the eye is going to be drawn to it. You want to be congruent, so change that as well. It shouldn't be. Shouldn't be that much. Who did it for you?
I think they're called the Logo Company. I'm sure if I call them up, they won't charge me much to change that. So.
They won't. It's worth doing. And you know the what are we trying to do? We're trying to get you some results as quickly as possible. Once you get a couple of clients, you're going to be in a different place, and it's going to be easier. And then the answers will come. So what will happen is you'll find your way. And so that was the next part of my answer is once you get a few clients, you'll know if and when and how to narrow your target market and your message.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So just to use my example, I started out with level one, really broad. I'll write anything for anybody. I was getting zero results. So then I went to the next level, which was I work for high-tech companies. And, okay, I've just narrowed it down to several million companies. But that was narrow. That was a narrow enough point that I was able to get some traction. Then what happened is I started getting clients. I started getting I saw the clusters. So I had a little cluster in the construction engineering architectural space. Then one in supply chain management and ERP software because of some connections. I landed a client, and then that led to a referral within that area and so forth. It's just these ecosystems tend to create multiplier effects. And then another one in data management, again, through a freak thing, and then I just developed a little bit. So I had these three clusters, and I was able to then get much more specific in my message.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and then same thing with projects. Where I really got specific was with projects. I started out saying I'm going to write lead-generating copy, but that's not what my clients wanted from me. They said, that's great, but what we really need help with is this white paper. Can you help us with that? I say yes to everything. That's another mantra here. You're starting out, say yes to everything. You know, say yes to everything. It's a metaphor, but it's an attitude. It's and you say yes to everything because you're trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And you know what? Before I knew it, I wasn't writing any lead generating copy, but it was okay because I liked it, number one, what I was doing. And it paid really well. So then after 3 years of doing this, then I got really clear on my project specialties. I think only then does it make sense to do after you've had a few clients, which is white papers, case studies, and ghostwritten articles. That's all I wanted to do.
That's all I want to do.
Ah, there you go.
Wait. Absolutely. Or these special report things. I don't know how to call them. They're not... That's the problem with, like, these reports that consultants do. Like, in marketing, a special report is like an e-book or a white paper. So I don't want to market that. I want to market the reports they have to write for their clients, and I'm not quite sure how to say that.
Reports they got to write for their clients?
Yeah.
What would be? Yeah, I don't know what it would be. You need to find out how they're addressing them, and then just
I should look at their websites and see what they're saying. Okay.
It's but don't worry. You know what? I think you're a lot closer than you think. I think the biggest thing is to go one step broader.
Okay.
And I don't think changing the copy will be as hard as you think it will be.
I'm not worried about it. I just wanted to talk to you before I put in a whole lot of time on it. Because it is too verbose. I'm looking at it after looking at your stuff, and it's just Joshua's nature. He likes to tell a story. And a lot of us were fairly uncomfortable with what he was having us do, so... I like your
keep in mind,
me rather than about me, you know, like I like the why me, and then I probably should have something about my specific qualifications and stuff. What was that page you said? There was a why me, bio page or something.
Oh, the bio page, yes. Yeah. So you might be a perfect candidate for a bio or – Something like that.
Because I have some published articles and stuff like that that I could boast about,
by
I guess.
By the way, keep in mind that Joshua, his background is direct response, business to consumer.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. The fit, I mean, it was really good to learn all the marketing stuff. You know, as a scientist and as a writer, we just don't know how to market. So I learned a lot about marketing, but it's just not working. And I've been on your email list for a long time and just thought to give this a go because I need some help. So I appreciate it.
Well, let's make this like the last thing you do until you get some clients.
Okay.
And I think you're on the right track. You got a great background. Let's make it happen. I'm here for you.
Okay. Thank you.
By the way, Colleen, Mary put in the chat. She's asking if you're anywhere near the Water Resources Board in Sacramento, because she says they're always looking for people to help with copy. It would also be good to meet some of them.
All right. Okay.
So.
I'll look them up. Yeah, I can probably, I don't know if she has a name or something. But
Mary, let us know if you know someone there, or if you can maybe guide her a little bit. Put it in the chat, or when we, you know, if you want to jump on. You never know. That's the cool thing about this business. Like, you never know where your clients are going to come from, the connections. You're talking to someone, and then you realize that their brother, works in the business, and it's crazy. It's crazy. So that's why you got to get comfortable with explaining what it is you do.
Yeah.
Have a couple of different pitches, one for people in the business and one for lay people that you can so they don't look
some
at you like you're in the headlights.
They don't really understand what I'm trying to do. A lot of people.
Yeah, and you got like the perfect storm of industries, right? Like, people don't understand that there's a water and wastewater industry out there. And
exactly.
They just think like the water just magically appears on the tap. And then nobody knows that writers actually get paid to write stuff. So then it's like the worst the worst combination ever, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Mary says she can make introductions, but it's necessary for Colleen to be in this area. Yeah.
I have to be in person in Sacramento, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what part of the California are you in?
Well, I'm in Southern California, but
Southern,
if
Northern.
I had a meeting,
California's
a
really
small
state.
A meeting, no. Not north to south, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but if a meeting was to be made, I could certainly make a meeting, no problem.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't want to work on site. You know, that's the thing. I'm not interested in working on site, really.
I think with what you're doing is not going to be necessary. I mean, if that's going to be a requirement, there's going to be plenty, especially where you live, where you don't necessarily need to, be in a situation where you have to travel.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure
I'll connect the two of you
here as well. Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. So, again, guys, star two if you have a question. You can also type one in. And I got a couple of questions that were typed in. Let's see. So let's see from Susan. Susan says, it's likely my first client will be the corporate offices of my current employer. Copy editing is not part of my job, but editing projects often end up in my hands just because everyone in our local office knows that editing is my happy place. I've given notice and won't be an employee there much longer. How should I approach corporate to let them know I'm starting a freelance business? And without details about specific projects, what kind of pricing or rates should I have worked out ahead of time? So let me see if I understand this. Your current employer, there's a chance that you could land the corporate office, not your – it sounds like you're in a branch office. Satellite office. How should I approach corporate to let them know I'm starting a freelance business? Okay, so what I'm curious to know, Susan, is you feel like that could be your first client, but do they know about it? It sounds like they don't, because then you ask, how should I approach corporate to let them know? without details about specific projects. Okay, so pricing is everything needs to follow a specific process, right? So you can't really get into pricing until you can talk projects. And I know some prospects want to know, well, what do you charge? Here's the thing. If you go ahead and answer that question now, you're providing half the answer because you're just providing pricing and there's no context. So the most important thing to know with pricing, and we're going to talk about pricing depending on where you are, we get there into sessions six and seven, we talk about that in detail. Without having context, it's just pointless. It's not going to tell you much. It's kind of like asking a restaurant, calling, hey, I'm calling to make reservations, but before I do, can you tell me how much you charge for your food? I mean, it just depends. You know, we got kinds of different dishes, and they could give you a range, but that even that may not be helpful because the range could be anything from a $5 appetizer to, a $50 entree. So that's still not going to give you much. It's more important for you to get in there or have a conversation about what it is you're looking for, and then you can offer something a little bit more specific. So that's the pricing bit. And again, session six and seven, get into that. But I'm curious to know, sounds like the corporate office doesn't know about it. The way, my preferred way of doing that is getting someone from your current office, like a supervisor, manager, director, or whatever, to make that introduction to the appropriate person in corporate. So you want someone to hold your hand, someone to who can make that referral and that introduction. That's going to be the most powerful way. Because if you have to go cold, then, I mean, it could still work, but it's not going to be as effective. So you need a champion who can help you do that. And I'm curious to know if you have somebody like that. Again, I'm just kind of reaching here because I don't know your situation, Susan. So if you want to jump on the call, start two, if there's a way, or if you can give me some more information, maybe I can give you a little bit better direction. Gordy says, talk to a web developer about a website. Talking again Tuesday. Also have a contact in an AWAI accountability group that may refer a client to me. Oh, awesome. That's great, Gordy. Yeah, I'm glad you're moving through this. This is important, and I can see the enthusiasm and just the momentum you're building up. My recommendation with a website, keep it simple at first. Yeah, you want something that looks good, but that is a step that a lot of people get stuck in. It's like quicksand. You jump in, and man, if you don't have the right guardrails in place, it's so easy to just get sucked in. And you get lost, and 2 months have passed, and you barely made any progress. So you need to continually ask yourself, okay, how am I progressing here? What am I doing? That's why, I am really limiting your window there. I'm suggesting a 3-week window to get that done and live. And if you have to, go to a website builder like Squarespace, man, do that. That is a very appropriate first step, first iteration of your website. In fact, I just got an email this morning from somebody in another coaching group of mine who said he went to Squarespace a couple of years ago, and he said it's the best thing I did. He said I was tired of WordPress. In his instance, it's just he just didn't want to keep doing WordPress. I think WordPress is a better, longer-term option, but he's super, super happy with his site. So anyway, the point is just don't get stuck there. Be careful. And it's good. It looks like you may have a referral there coming up. That's awesome. Okay, Laura says, hey, Ed, this is a funny question. Okay. Several years back, I read a book about simplifying one's life. And one of the recommendations was to deactivate your social media accounts for 3 to 4 months. It was so refreshing and freeing that I never went back. Then a business writing inquiry led from contractor to full-time employee, so I ended up deleting my old social media accounts. Flash forward, I do plan to create strategic business accounts on various social channels as part of my new business, but how much am I missing now not being part of the Facebook group? Would you recommend that I recreate an individual account for this purpose? Yeah, great question. It's funny. I kind of feel the same way. I'm on Facebook every day, but the reason I'm on Facebook every day is because all of my forums, my groups, are Facebook groups. And we've just tried different methods, and we've tried it outside of Facebook. The engagement is nowhere near what it is here. There's just no comparison. So the reason we're here is that it's just been the most effective platform for us. But I don't like it. I'm not a fan of Facebook other than the groups. I'm not going to tell you what to do. This is just a recommendation to consider, which would be to go ahead and open up a Facebook account. You don't need to put any of your real information on there other than your name. You know, like put a fake birthday if you're worried about any of that, because I know privacy is a huge issue right now in terms of Facebook. And then just use it for this group. I think you're going to get a lot out of this group. Just, you know, in terms of being able to ask questions, get feedback, accountability, and, you know, I share information there as well. That's just kind of outside of the regular training. And plus the announcements and so forth, which we still do over email. But I think it is worth it just for that. And I wouldn't accept any friend requests or anything like that because that kind of sucks you back in. So just use it for that. The other social media platform that I strongly recommend would be LinkedIn, just because it's become indispensable. Just to have your LinkedIn profile there, use it as a research tool, networking tool, prospecting tool. It's just way too important. The bad news about LinkedIn, if you want to call it bad, is that it's become too hard to get away with using a free account. So I strongly recommend that if you're going to go that route, I mean, set everything up as a free account, and then once everything's there, strongly consider getting into the Business Plus level. It's just they've made it so that the free version, just from a research standpoint, is not going to give you that much. And you're going to reach your search limit very, very quickly on free. So long answer to a short question, Laura. I hope that helps. Let me know. But I totally get where you're coming from. Okay. Good stuff. Star 2. By the way, the other thing that I struggle with is my smartphone. I just came across an article this week that a lot of people are moving away from smartphones and back into flip phones, which I laughed at first, and then I realized, you know what, I should consider that. I'm seriously thinking about getting a backup phone, another phone, a flip phone that's got no apps, but allows me to text at least. And just using that most of the time, at least experimenting with it. They're so cheap. So anyway, just something else I'm considering just so I can be more present. I find that I reach for my phone way too often, and I don't like that. Okay, Susan put in so in the chat feature. Okay, so this is back in terms of her corporate office, and she says, I work in an assisted living community, which is one of many locations owned by the corporation. Virtually everything that's written comes out of the corporate office. Okay, so Susan, do you have someone who can make that introduction to the appropriate person in corporate? That would be my first suggestion, and if you don't, can you find who it is and then reach out to them personally as a backup? That's going to be your best bet, because even that as a backup works really well. Because I mean, put yourself in their shoes, right? They get an email from an employee saying, "Look, I've been doing a lot of this writing here. I'm going to be doing this on my own. I'd love to help you guys out. I think I have the perfect background for it. I know the company, the organization. I know what we're doing and so forth. And you know, I'd love to help you as a freelancer. Should we connect? That kind of thing." And then I would definitely follow up. I would not be shy about that. You're an asset to them. It's funny. I've seen so many instances of this, Susan, where an employee is treated a certain way when they're an employee, and then when they go out on their own, they're treated a completely different way. And by that I mean they're treated better. I experienced this myself, and I'm not alone. My employer, by the time I left my day job, I had enough of a side business that I didn't need them, but I really wanted them as a client at some point. And it took a while. It took about a year. And then they finally called me, and things were to a point where they could use me, and they were a great client. But it's funny, like when I was there as an employee, they didn't see me as a valuable resource in this area at all. And then when I went on my own, I was treated as an expert, as someone they looked up to and they needed guidance from, which I thought was interesting because they didn't look at me that way when I was there. So I see that a lot. Laura says, thanks for the social media feedback. Great. Glad that was helpful. All right. Gordy says, I have been hanging myself up on two things, getting a website together and pinning down a niche. I hired a web developer. I'm anticipating having a website up shortly. I have information ready to put on my LinkedIn profile that can be put up very quickly. Okay. So pinning down a niche. Again, Gordy, keep in mind that we don't necessarily need a niche. What you need is a target market. Because a niche can mean several different things. If you have to start a little broader, I think that's fine. Remember my conversation with Colleen is you don't have to go really narrow. It could be companies in the financial services industry. That sounds like you've taken a big step, but, I mean, that is extremely broad, to use that as an example. But it's still a heck of a lot better than saying, all right, you know, for B2B companies, for instance. So if what you're referring to is your target market, I would just do your best and, pick something and just start there. But pick something relatively broad that's better than B2B companies, that's narrower than that, and let's just see where it takes you. So you're saying, yeah, you've had specific experience in five or six different areas. There are multiple areas that I feel I could write about. I know you don't suggest it, but could I list three of these areas? You could. I'm curious what you came up with in the exercise from session one. So you may recall that I said, okay, once you've narrowed it down, let's just say five or six areas, the ones you're working with, then it's three different questions for each of those. Okay, do I have a network there? And how recent is that network? So, for instance, yeah, I have a network, but that was 30 years ago. I've been out of that business for a while. I know it well, but the people I know, I haven't really kept in touch with. Okay, so that's worth noting. The second question is, do they understand the value of content and copy? Do they need to write a good amount of marketing materials every year to help them sell their products and services? And the third question is, how do you feel about the topics you'd be writing about and the people you'd be working with? Okay, so I would, now that you've narrowed it down to five or six, ask yourself those three questions, and wherever you have the most checks, those would be the ones that I would seriously consider. See if you can narrow it down to three, but based on that. And if you can narrow it down to two or one, even better, but three is fine. In terms of if you did three, you could get away with that as long as the three kind of make sense together. So, for instance, financial services, high tech, and healthcare. Those are three very different industries, but I think I can make a case for how they tie together in my copy. So I can see myself writing something to the effect of, you know, those are my three target markets, and what ties them together is complexity. Complexity and the ever-changing nature of those businesses. The business drivers that tie them all together, right? And then if the fact that I also have experience in all three of them. So I think I can make a very solid case for that. But if it's financial services, massage therapist, and, I don't know, restaurants, they just don't go well together. It's like that Sesame Street game, remember that, where they say, okay, which one of these four doesn't belong? It's just not really working there. It's hard to really tie those together logically. So just something I just got heard from someone today. She's an occupational therapist and a writer, and she's trying to do both on her website. I said, that's going to be really tough. Unless you can tie them together logically, that's just too much. Those are two totally different things. So that's an extreme example. So Susan says, fortunately, I've worked with and am on good terms with some of the corporate team. I'm very comfortable contacting them. I just don't want to be caught unprepared when the issue of money comes up. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so Susan, what you may want to do, just trying to think here, what would be the best thing to do? You may want to go ahead and skip ahead to session 6 and 7. There's a very specific process there. Now, let me just warn you, it's going to take some practice, okay? Talking with prospects about their project, what they have in mind, how you may be able to help them, having the money conversation. I'm going to give you a process that is very, very sound. It's proven. I've refined it over the years. It works. I've taught people how to use it who use it all the time. And it's extremely effective, but it takes practice. So as long as you don't go into it thinking, you know, I got to get it perfect and just right, and just give yourself permission to practice. The good news, Susan, this is one of the many reasons why I say start with your network, is they're going to be more forgiving, right? So you already have a lot going for you in the situation, and that trumps your ability to go through that process perfectly and flawlessly right now, if that makes sense. So here's the other thing to consider. Don't worry. Don't worry about trying to optimize your earnings with this client, which they would now be a client, not an employer. You're just trying to land something and trying to get some momentum right now. So remember, guys, the first couple of paid clients you land, it's not about the money. It's really about getting that huge leap in motivation, self-confidence, and momentum that you need right now to keep going. That's the real value there. The money, you know, it doesn't matter. That's a secondary benefit. So as long as you keep reminding yourself of that, I think you're going to be great. Okay. All right. Let me bring Gordy on. See, you have your hand raised. Hey, Gordy, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. The three fields, I'm getting ready to send you another chat. The three fields that I'm looking at, I just spent 19 years in education.
Uh-huh.
But I also have a background in insurance and sales and marketing. I have an interest in alternative health. And the referral that I talked about is an IT company that markets into the financial field.
Okay.
So I'm kind of all over the place. That would be an aside. I have no background in financial at the moment. Spent 19 years in education, but it's kind of comes with a caveat. I was an internship instructor for the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have students in front of me all the time. I was more of a coordinator than a teacher, and that's kind of where I'm at with all this other stuff. I was a gypsy when I was a young man. Actually had two very distinct time periods in my 63 years old now. Spent 20 years in outside public contact. Was claims adjuster for an insurance company, several different sales jobs. Then I got into public education I was in that for 19 years and just retired this past spring. I was in that for 19 years. I had about four different positions in that. And the longest one was 12 years. And like I said, was kind of a hybrid. So I don't have in-depth knowledge in any of those areas. But I have knowledge in all of those areas. And I have contacts in all of those areas. So that's why I was asking about, could you do like a three-pronged thing where you do a website and you list like education, maybe insurance and sales and marketing, and do a write-up on your background in each of those areas?
I think you could. I think you could, because you just went through kind of that checklist, right? The fact that you do have those contacts, the fact that, you know, we can skip ahead education and insurance. They both write a good amount of content. They get it. They need the educational content as part of their sales and marketing process. And it sounds like you have an interest in both of them. So they kind of both check out. The one out of the alternative health that you wrote in the chat, that's the one that's kind of the odd man out.
It doesn't fit. I agree.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit. So that's a perfect and classic example of, hey, I have a personal interest or passion, but nothing else. I can't check off any of the other boxes, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've taken, as far as the alternative health goes, I've taken supplements since I was 28, so ever how many years that is now, getting way too close to 40 for my take. I've also, I have trouble with my knees, so I did a ton of research on alternative ways to avoid knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not just a passing interest. That's one that I've had not a lifelong interest, but pretty close to. So I was wondering, could I start with like education, insurance, maybe sales and marketing, and then bring in the alternative health later after I've got some experience?
You absolutely can. In fact, that's the smartest way of doing it. It's easier to jump into this with something that that you have more going for you on than it is the other one. And
right.
And then it's easier to go from there to something kind of offbeat, if you will. So rather than making the leap to alternative health straight from where you are today, go with what's going to give you the highest probability of success now.
Okay.
And then once you're there, you'll be in a better place to then start exploring alternative health because you'll have income coming in, you know. So then you can afford to spend, let's say, 10-20% of your time trying to go after those types of clients, maybe even creating a separate website or a separate page on your site for that. But to spend the time now, I think it's something that's kind of and I totally get it. It's more than a passive thing, but you have to have something that's a little bit more than that, I feel, in order to get some traction early.
Yeah, well, I get it. I get what you're saying, because what you know will allow you to build momentum more quickly than what you don't know,
yes.
Because you have just kind of a natural lead into the areas that you know. So I get that. I understand that. But I think, and you never know, you obviously said you've changed directions. I think I would like to do alternative health, but until you get in and do it, how do you know for sure?
Yeah, well, I'd say don't start with that. Keep it. Don't give up on it, but get some traction and then go after it little by little, you know, as opposed to trying to start there. Or trying to add it to this group where it's going to feel the thing is, it could, if you added it right now, it feels like you're wedging it in.
Okay.
It just doesn't quite fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, okay. this person who is the writer, and she's got this focus. But then, oh, by the way, I'm also an occupational therapist, if you happen to need that. And if you ever need a home cook, I do that sometimes. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you see what I'm saying? It feels like a bit too much. Same thing with, you know, we do this all the time. If you need your windows replaced, you're going to call a window company. You're probably not going to call somebody who says, we do it all. It's like, I'm sure you do, but you know what? I want to make sure this is done right.
But how well do you do it all?
Yeah, how well, how often do you do it, you know?
And, right. Yeah. What's your experience level?
Yeah. What's your experience? All those things. So I would stick with education, insurance, sales and marketing. Let me ask you about that, because that's kind of generic. So what specifically in terms of sales and marketing?
Like I said, I was a gypsy when I was young. I have sold auto parts. I have sold insurance in two different capacities. I was a claims adjuster for an insurance company. I was in real estate for a year. I was in packaged cement products. I sold for a cement company into the construction industry, home builders and general contractors. So like I said, I was a gypsy back when you weren't supposed to be a gypsy.
Well, I would say that with that, I would kind of move it to the back a little bit. Here's what I mean. And target markets could be education and insurance. The sales and marketing thing is part of your differentiator. So, for instance, hey, one of the things that makes me different is not only my experience in education, my experience in insurance, is the fact that as a writer, not only am I trained, but I've also spent years as a sales professional, and now I sell on paper. So one of my talents is the fact that I sell on paper, and that experience comes from not just my training as a writer and copywriter, but the fact that I've been in real sales situations. So I understand the dynamic, and that makes me a better writer. Something like that. You see what I'm saying? It's it's that's part of what makes me different. Not I help companies that sell and market products, because then now you're getting into that's becoming a little too generic. So you got to separate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. In fact, I did something very similar. So I said I focus on, I help high-tech companies, and eventually is I help software companies. And one of the things that makes me different is I spent 11 years as a sales professional. I've been, you know, out there in the streets. I've written my own sales materials. I had to make them work. They had to. I've been in situations where the materials you write have helped me. They have to work. So that was kind of a unique story there that I was able to weave in order to really highlight what made me different. Because then, everything else being equal, they're looking at someone with a journalism background and somebody with a sales background. Again, everything else being equal, I think my story kind of stood out a little bit more. You know, not only can I help you write it well, but I have that context. You know, I have this experience that you just can't teach somebody overnight. And I think that's going to make what I write for you a little bit stronger.
Okay. Makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, great stuff. Okay. Let's see. We got guys again. So start two. If you have a question, that will raise your hand. Or, of course, you can just type it in into the chat area or to the questions area. And we have Arun. Hold on, Arun. Let me bring you in. All right. Here we go. You're on, Arun. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you.
You too. So my question is about actually the web copy I had been working on.
Okay.
So I highlighted in a couple of different places the fact that I have nearly 20 years professional experience. I've worked in a few different fields, and so was trying to leverage the fact that I've worked in mostly technical fields, but they've been different, so I can theoretically speak more than one language.
Mm-hmm.
So then had my wife looking through it the other day, and it hadn't occurred to me until she asked me this. She said, would putting something like that make it seem as though maybe I won't be around in the industry as long, or I don't have the longevity maybe a potential client might need? And I don't know. Because up to this point, my assumption would be what it was to highlight more experience than less to kind of, you know, present myself. I've been around a while. And part of it is I started working young. I started this type of work in high school, actually. So just trying to figure out if there's a balance between kind of presenting a lot of experience versus making people think, well, they've been around so long, either they're not the right fit or they're not going to be around much longer, or does that even matter?
It doesn't matter. It really does. It's a great question. Here's what you do. You always highlight the positives of your situation and don't even mention or justify the negatives, okay? So first of all, that's not even a negative thing, so I wouldn't worry about it. In fact, it's interesting because when you're a freelancer, that kind of experience does matter. If you're going after a full-time position, the fact that you have 40 years experience, let's face it, guys, that's going to be tough because employers want to hire younger people. You know, it's just, it is what it is. So that could backfire. But interestingly enough, that same situation as a freelancer makes you more valuable. What employers generally don't want to do, and it's a more complex issue than this, but is they don't want to hire somebody after a certain age necessarily. But they want that kind of wisdom and experience, right? So in your situation, I don't think you're anywhere near that, Arun. I think you're in that sweet spot. you know, 20 plus years is great. If you only have three, that's a challenge, you know. So work with what you've got, and you got plenty. I think you're right in the sweet spot. I would not worry about that at all. It doesn't say anything about, you know, the fact that you've jumped around, anything like that. I think you've been at it enough that you have ample experience in each of the areas where you've developed expertise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That actually that kind of supports what my instinct was telling me, but I hadn't thought of it till she asked, so I figured I'd bring it to you and see what you thought. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Hey, it's good to have another set of eyes, you know, looking at your stuff, because sometimes we're too close to our own stuff, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, great way to keep moving through the process.
Yeah, it's been great so far. So we'll see. I've got one more person reviewing the site. He actually owns his own consultancy and so manages his own site as well. And has been doing it for 5 years now, I think. So another good person who's kind of been through this, you know, multiple times. So, yeah, excited for the end of the week and hoping, like I said, to make it public space by the end of the week. So.
Great. Well, and let me know. I'd be happy to review it. We have a website review thread in the forum.
Yep.
So
saw that.
Yeah, let me know.
That'll be my next step. Absolutely.
All right, Arun. Take care, buddy. All right, let's see. Looking at the chat here, Gordy says, I like this chat feature. Awesome. So that's great feedback, guys. It's, yeah, let's test it out for a couple of weeks and see. I'm enjoying it. My other group where I tested with, it was a huge hit. So I think we can make this a little bit more interactive. Susan says, thank you for that advice about the process taking practice. Good stuff, yeah. And Susan, I hope you're doing well working on those summer vacation plans. Yeah, I'm actually on hold right now because I'm waiting on something that could alter the dates, but I got an idea. Go out west in July and keeping it simple while keeping it fun. So considering just going up to maybe the Pacific Northwest or Northern California and then just driving down the coast, just taking our time, working our way down to L.A., just with the family, maybe taking 5, 6, 7 days to do that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. All right, let's see. And talking about Susan, you are on. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Doing well. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you. Same here. I'm doing well as well. My mouse is going berserk today, so I actually started to say more than just about your summer vacation plans, but had to change to do it live because I don't know what's going on. You know, my mouse, it's like the words are all jumbling. Anyways, never mind. So thank you so much for that creative brief that you sent. I've sent it to him and waiting for that to come back. Meanwhile, I've had a couple, meetings with some other prospective clients. So things are going well. And, I know that's just because you were so consistent in saying, get it done. Doesn't have to be perfect. You need to get it done. So I appreciate that so much.
Hey, thanks for the feedback. That's great to hear. And guys, just so FYI, Susan, we got a little bit of overlap here in a couple of groups. So Susan started several weeks ago, and she's making some great progress. So don't feel bad if you just start as like, well, wait a minute, how is she already talking to prospective clients?
right.
But you know, I'm glad you're telling everybody that, right? Because I sometimes wonder if you guys get tired of hearing me say it. And that's coming from someone who's been through this process, who's telling you, hey, done is better than perfect. Just keep moving. You'll learn as you go.
Exactly. And I know, like, when I was in the first few weeks and hearing other people talk about clients, I was like, I am never going to get there. That is not going to happen. And here we are. And it did. So it was awesome. So I appreciate that so much. I was going to mention one thing. Laura had the Facebook concerns, and I totally have the same concerns. I think being, you know, a school principal for so many years, I didn't do Facebook because I didn't want school parents trying to contact me. But between your group and then other AWAI classes, everybody does the Facebook group. So what I do is I use my maiden name so people can't find me, and then I can participate and, you know, chime in with the various groups that I need to. But yet I still don't get engaged with, like, socializing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, and
yeah.
You confused me there for a while because you were using all these different names. And then your email address is somebody else's name, and I just, like, I don't even know who this person is.
I know. That's the only tricky part. You have to make sure that the instructor knows who you are. So, yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. Just wanted
and
to give
I
you a hard time.
No, that's okay. Totally. I totally understand. I wanted to let Gordy know that I responded to him as well. So he might want to double check on Facebook and see that. But anyways, you know, just encouraging people, because you can get so bogged down in the website. I mean, it was just, I was like floundering for weeks until, you know, I started doing your coaching. And then I was like, no, just get it done. Simple, get it done. And so then to have a finished product, like just within, you know, like a month, it was awesome and such a huge weight off my shoulder. And it really adds so much credibility, because everybody that I'm prospecting with or talking to, they're all, oh, great site, great website, you know, that kind of thing. So you just, Ed, you're just awesome. I mean, you really, really have done a great job, and I appreciate it. So just wanted to encourage everybody, hang in there, get that website done.
Thank you, Susan. Very kind of you to say that. That is sound advice, guys. So it's not just for me, somebody who's gone through the process. Just get it done. You know, it's a sneaky way of me. The reason, one of the many reasons why I have it early in the process is not only do you need it before you start prospecting, but also the boost in confidence it gives you, right? It's
yeah.
like, wow, you look
mm-hmm.
at it and go, wow,
exactly.
that's really cool. And then you get
yeah.
feedback from others, wow, that's really professional.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can't
awesome.
Buy that kind of confidence.
Exactly. Exactly. And plus, doing the website review, having you walk through it page by page, that was immensely helpful and gave really good constructive feedback. So I encourage everybody to do that as well. I mean, that's just super helpful. Something that you think looks great, how it is or how you've worded it, and then you have you read it and go, oh, my word, you're right. I didn't even think about that. So that was really helpful, too. So appreciate that.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks
well, you take care.
All right. Likewise.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. Tina says, hey, I'm at work. I'm only listening in. I can't talk, but glad to be here. Glad to have you, Tina. Good stuff. Susan asks, okay, you mentioned Squarespace versus WordPress. Why do you prefer one over the other? Okay, great question. So this argument, it's like asking somebody about religion. But here's what I would boil it down to based on the work we're doing together. Everything else being equal, WordPress is going to take longer to set up and manage. However, you're going to end up with something that's going to be – it's a longer-term solution for you because – well, I won't get into the details, but it's kind of like buying a used car that's just going to take you from point A to point B every day to work and back. It's got no air conditioning and, you know, it doesn't even have a stereo, but it does the job, okay, as opposed to, you know what, let's go ahead and invest in a car that that's safe, that won't break down, that's going to fit everybody when we do take trips and all these things. So it's kind of the same thing. It's like it all depends on what you want. Sometimes a short-term solution, the used car, will do the job for now until you're in a place where you can afford to spend the time and the money and the resources to get the other one. But sometimes you may want to just do it right from the very beginning. Cost-wise, it's about the same. WordPress, however, is going to take more. The effort there is not so much in cost, but more sweat equity. So you're going to have to spend more time setting it up, and there's more pieces to manage. You got to install WordPress. You have to find and select and install a theme, which is like a template. Then you have to customize a theme a little bit. Customize meaning, just kind of move things around and so forth. That's a little bit more complex than it is with Squarespace, for instance. You have to buy or download several plugins, which are like little extras to make different things work and to make sure your site's backed up and secure and so forth. Those sorts of things. So that takes time, and if you've never done that, it's not to the point where it's like plug and play. It really isn't. You have to know how to do it. We have training inside this program to help you do that. We've simplified as much as we can. I'm not very technical at all, and I could follow that and do it myself. But it's going to take more time and frustration on your part if you haven't done it before. Squarespace, think of it as they're hosting it, they're doing everything, and they're giving you some templates that are not very customizable, but you can move some things around. You can change some colors. You can change the fonts, do some layout adjustments, but then you don't have to mess with it. They maintain everything. So up and running is much faster with Squarespace than it is with WordPress. Cost-wise is about the same, unless you outsource some of the WordPress work. Like I just don't have the patience to mess around with all this technical stuff. So I would hire somebody. Well, that might cost me, a bit. And so in that case, WordPress would be more costly. But I would have a better, longer-term solution. With Squarespace, I could probably do it all myself. I would be willing to do it all myself, so I wouldn't have that cost. You need to figure out what's going to be best for you. And the best way to make the decision, of course, are going to be your own resources, your time, patience, and what you like and don't like doing, and then what you know is going to help keep you moving through the process. If you start seeing that you're getting caught up in this mess and you're now in the quicksand and you don't have those guardrails in place and you're the kind of person who can easily get sucked in, then I would be very, very cautious about the WordPress route. Then there's also, a third option, which is just hire somebody else to help you with it, either a virtual assistant who specializes in WordPress. You can talk to me and my team. We're building websites for writers and copywriters. So we created this template that works really, really well for writers. It's very simple, clean, and we can get you up and running very, very quickly. And it's a WordPress site, by the way. So we got a package there. And if you're curious about it, just send me an email, ed@b2blauncher.com, and put website in the subject line. And they'll let me know that's what you're interested in. I'll reply with all the details. So there's no right or wrong, but hopefully that will give you an idea of what might be best for you. Okay, we got Ray in Alabama. Hey, Ray.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for this. Two things. Number one, I have a WordPress website. It did take a lot of work to put it together. I had to eventually hire a graphic designer to add color, and she did help me a lot with it. But I did run into those problems with the WordPress website. But second, and my reason for calling, my background is in the religious community. I have a Master of Divinity degree, and I've served about 30 years as a Christian pastor. I've also done some extra work it's called thanatology. It's the study of death and dying, so end-of-life story, end-of-life issues. I've also done some other work in nonprofit management and looking just how you manage nonprofit organizations. So I've got certificates in both of those areas. I'm in the middle of the positioning exercise right now. Still working through that, and notice that newsletter writing is something that I do on a regular basis, and then hospice care kind of bubbled up as another another focus that I ought to look at more at. From that point, what would you suggest to me as how I move that forward?
Interesting, yeah. So you have some of these are newsletters, that's kind of a project interest, right?
Right.
And you have experience. Hospice care, that would be a target market, let's just call
right.
it that.
Right.
You mentioned nonprofits. Okay. So several different ways we could look at this. You could have a project specialty, although you probably heard me say, look, I don't recommend that out of
right.
the gate. It's
right.
just way too narrow.
Right.
You could highlight that as one of your core services, and I think that's fine. Hospice care, I don't know enough about that
yeah.
element of healthcare or wherever we want to put it to know if it's maybe too narrow. It
mm-hmm.
feels a little bit too narrow for me, but you would have a
mm-hmm.
better idea. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you think the possibilities might be there?
That is something I need to look into more. The one thing I have noticed as I have as I've started to do warm emails and things like that to look around is that in the religious community, largely it's either, well, will you volunteer to do this, or we really don't need that service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure what would really be available in the hospice community. I know I've worked with them a number of times in my other capacities, but that's still a question for me. But
so,
certainly, go ahead.
Well, yeah, but it would just be, and I agree. I can see the whole, well, can you volunteer for it? But there are
yeah,
companies,
yeah.
corporations out there that provide hospice services, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, and I know there's tons of them, and because of the aging population, I mean, that's just continuing to grow. The question is, you know, have you looked at some of these and just spend maybe a couple of hours Googling, you know, hospice service companies, and just to kind of get an idea, okay, what marketing materials do they have in place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be one. A lot of people ask me, well, what, you know, what are we looking for in terms of revenue and in terms of this? I'm like, you know what, keep it simple. We're not doing in-depth research. We're just trying to see, are they already doing this stuff?
Right.
And to what degree, from what I can tell. That's a two-hour project.
Okay.
And so I would look there if you haven't already and just get a better sense. You might find that, you know what, this is so straightforward. It's just their website. They maybe they have a brochure, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. But if you start seeing that they have multiple brochures, they have different they wouldn't call them white papers, but you know, some documents or articles, maybe a blog, newsletter. Those are probably, I would think, those are probably pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you're starting to see a lot of this, and there's a lot of companies. I that would be one I would put a star by.
Okay.
Just because they already get it. You always want to go where they already get it. You don't want to go
right.
where they're not doing it and hope you can convince them.
Right. Right. Okay.
That is definitely a losing proposition. And then, and I know we talked about this at one point, you know, with nonprofits, there are two opportunities there. There's nonprofits themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then you got to look at it vertically. Think of it about the supply chain. Okay, companies that sell to nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a ton of those. And so that would be an opportunity. I got a coaching client of mine who's doing really, really well positioning himself as someone who works, writes for companies that sell to nonprofit organizations, because he worked in the nonprofit sector, so he's been on the other side, and
right.
he understands what they need to do and how they need to position things.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be another great opportunity.
Okay.
And there's plenty of room there. You know, that's just one guy who does that.
Right.
The cool thing about that is, in fact, there's so much opportunity that there are agencies that all they focus on is the nonprofit sector. So, you know, even if you started with agencies, hey, you know, when you have a client, you need some of the stuff written, you know, I'd be a great writer for you.
Mm-hmm.
be, because I have that background.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that gives me some things to move forward on. Thank you.
Yeah. That helped. Do you feel you got a little bit more?
I do. Yeah, that gives me some. That gives me some areas to move forward on, and it's kind of a next step for me. So I appreciate that.
You bet, Ray. So let me know. You know, as you start going through this, let me know what you uncover.
Okay.
And if we got to dig it a little bit deeper, or whatever, I'm here for you. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Good stuff. And, you know, again, guys, you know, with any of this stuff, we're trying to make the best decision possible in a short period of time. And we won't know with 100% assurance if it's going to work. All we're trying to do is, all right, let's start here. Based on everything I've worked through, this makes sense. Again, we're looking for something that's still relatively broad, unless there's a very, very good reason why we need to go narrower. And let's just start knocking on some doors, and let's see where we can get some traction. And then the market will show you the way. It really will. I got dozens of examples of this happening where people make a decision. They keep it relatively broad, like I've suggested, and then they start knocking on doors. They start taking action, and the market just shows them the way. And they end up incrementally iterating, and a few months later, they find themselves in a very different place. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, they're super, super happy because they've followed the flow. They've followed their intuition. They've followed where the money is, where they're getting traction, and that's how it's going to work. I think we can all look at, if you've had a career for more than 10, 15 years, you look at your own professional career, and it's probably been the same thing, right? You get a degree, or you just get out there and you start working. And unless you're in a very specific discipline, like a trade, if you're an electrician, or if you're an accountant, or a lawyer, or an engineer, there's a very, very good chance that you just kind of followed the flow. And 20 years later, you're somewhere very different from where you started. But that's okay. It's going to be the same thing here. So Laura asks, is it difficult or costly or a hassle to change your website from Squarespace to WordPress in the future? It's not a huge hassle, but if that's not something that and by the way, they have information on how to do that, tutorials and so forth, but my recommendation, if it's not something you feel comfortable with, just hire a virtual assistant who has experience doing that to help you with the process. It's not going to be very costly, and you're going to avoid the potential mistakes that can really freak you out. There's nothing worse than trying to do something and suddenly your website's gone or it's not live, and what do you do? And then you can't get help from tech support. And so when the time comes, The good news is, if you're going that route, if you're going Squarespace to WordPress in the future, you're going to make that switch at a point in your business where you have income coming in. And I would set aside some of that income just to have somebody help you out with it and spend, whatever it might be, let's say $200-$300 for somebody to do that. It's going to be well worth it. Yeah, great question. Susan says, wow, so glad I asked about WordPress and Squarespace. You saved me so much time. I probably would have spent hours and hours researching, going back and forth, trying to figure out which one is a better choice for me. I'm a long-term thinker, so WordPress it is. Thanks. Awesome. There you go. No right or wrong answer here. So hopefully it sounds like I gave you the criteria to help you make the best decision for yourself. And by the way, maybe the car analogy wasn't the best, because I may have made it sound like the used car is kind of a clunker and that's Squarespace. It's really not. It's just, maybe it's a used car and it's a fairly new used car, but maybe it doesn't have a lot of the features you need, or it's not very flexible. I don't know. Maybe it the stereo didn't come with satellite radio or a USB port or Bluetooth. and you're trying to think long term, and you know you're going to go on road trips, you're going to need the Bluetooth, that kind of thing, right? But it's doing the basics. It's helping you get from A to B. So forget about the air conditioning. Let's say it has air conditioning. Sometimes when I try to come up with these analogies on the spot, they don't always work. They break down a bit. But it sounds like it. I got the message across. All right, so star two. If you have a question. While I'm waiting, guys, I'm going to be posting, as you probably noticed, a accountability thread in the forum every week. I encourage everyone, and many of you guys have taken advantage of that, to go ahead and commit to something you're going to do that week, and I will check in on you. So, I'm not going to publicly shame you or anything like that, but I don't know about you. I find it very, very helpful to have someone ask me, because it forces me to narrow down what I'm going to commit to, and it, when it's in my head, it's kind of all together, and it's not until I have to give an answer and write it down that I realize, well, wait a minute. First of all, that's too many things, and second of all, I have to be clear about something. So let me pick this one or two thing, and let's just go with that. And then the other value is now it's out there, and now I got to get it done because I know it's out there, and then it's visible, and somebody might follow up on me, Ed might follow up on me, so... I encourage you to do it. This process, I've simplified it as much as possible. It's still hard work. I've been very honest and upfront about that from the very beginning with you guys. But if you don't move, if you don't continue to move, if you're not consistent, it's going to be painful. It's going to be a lot more painful. So I want you to continue to move through this process. Again, done is better than perfect. We're just taking baby steps here. We're trying to get momentum. We're trying to get results as quickly as possible to feed that motivation and to encourage you and give you the confidence you need to keep going. All right. I don't see any other raised hands. So we'll go ahead and wrap up today. Again, we'll post this recording tomorrow and send you an email when it's up there. Keep the questions coming. We got a weekly Q&A thread going on in the forum. So I invite you to ask away when you're ready for me to take a look at your website. Post that in the website review thread. We just got a separate thread for that. That way I can keep track of it. And, keep doing what you're doing. You guys are doing awesome. You're moving through this process. You're asking great questions. Keep it up. Make a commitment and a promise to yourself that you're going to do this, and you're going to stick with it. It's going to be hard. Some weeks you're not going to feel like doing it, but guys, it is so, so worth it if you push through. If you're committed, you're going to do this, and you're going to get results, and you're going to be glad that you stuck with it. So keep doing what you're doing, and we'll continue the conversation in the forum. You guys have a great rest of the week, fantastic weekend, and we'll talk soon.